It's time for Bathroom Spears Broadsides. All you late night owls, come on, shake off the sleep. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, late and perhaps leaving early, but this is the Sunday edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. And that's 2.5 hours of civil rights on the street. Today we're going to be giving special attention to the upcoming trial of Steve Argue, skateboarding at the issue coming up at Parks and Rec at 4 o'clock on Monday, tomorrow, and the Citizens Police Review Board meeting at 5:30, where there is going to be apparently the first appearance of Diane Christensen, the investigator who's going to be doing an independent investigation of the events of May 22nd, as well as the first appearance of Daniel Alper, the 7th Cynthia Matthews appointee police review board person who will be breaking the deadlock one way or the other on the police review board. Stay tuned. This is still Free Radio Santa Cruz, hopefully with your voice added on. Give a call to 427-3772, our studio line, if you want to join the jamboree. There's lots of stuff happening today that's going to be competing with us. At noon, there's going to be a World Trade Organization Art and Revolution Guerrilla Theater thingamabobby happening at the Duck Pond. In fact, I have a man here who can actually give you some details on that, I'm sure. If we can find the flyer, oh no. He's looking for the... He's found the flyer. He's still looking for the flyer. That's going to be at noon at 1 o'clock at the Bagelary. There's going to be a meeting of a group planning for a 3-day community conference on...
Oh, yeah, so it's Sunday, September 12th.
Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah. All right. We got noon at the Duck Pond at San Lorenzo Park. Art and Revolution. I believe it's a workshop. Let's see here. It's a street collective, street theater collective. Art is not a mirror with which to reflect reality, but a hammer with which to shape it. So it says, find out how you can help organize for the WTO Roadshow. And that's happening again at noon at San Lorenzo Park by the Duck Pond. And basically, this is for people who want to organize resistance and protesting and getting people to go to Seattle, getting people to go to Seattle and stuff like that. But it says for a roadshow, so maybe you want to go traveling with them or something like that. I don't know. But for whatever, go to the Duck Pond.
So, yeah. Hey. Thank you, Josh. WTO, of course, is the World Trade Organization, notorious along with the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and NAFTA and all those cool international organizations that have so impoverished our world and help to make still heavier the purses of the undeserving and the overfed. So the reason I'm interested in this workshop, and I may go to it, I may cut this show short, I'm still trying to kind of balance it out. If you call in, we'll keep the show going. But if you don't, I warn you, I may make a break for it. How's that for a little blackmail? The reason I'm interested in this particular thing that's happening at the Duck Pond at noon, which is San Lorenzo Park. For those of you who don't know where the Duck Pond is, that's the park right next to the county building, right across the bridge from downtown Front Street and the movie theaters over there and the Zanatos and all that stuff. It's on this side the east side, that is, of the river. The reason I'm interested is because it's we need street theater, I think, in Santa Cruz in a big way, and it really is an effective and entertaining way to educate people about what's going on. The last bit of street theater that I saw that I really liked was the Art and Revolutions ticketing people for sleeping. They had this great phony cop running around. That was Grant Wilson with a constable hat giving out tickets, and they would put up do not cross tape for police lines, all for people who were sort of just sitting there. And this is in fact what actually happens. As I drove to the studio this morning, I saw Officer Perry, that's the African American officer also known as RoboCop, harassing an individual on the freeway. That is to say, a homeless person who was crossing over the freeway, as many homeless people do. It's technically illegal, but, you know, it's something people have to do on occasion. And I can't say that's not true. He appeared to be harassing a homeless person. I concluded he was harassing a homeless person. I didn't inquire whether the person was homeless. He looked homeless. I didn't hear the dialogue. But I know that last fall, when I got a report, I rushed over to Safeway on the east side, and I found him harassing, and this certainly was true because I was present and played it over free radio later, people with shopping carts who were simply trying to recycle cans to help the community, to give themselves a little money to help the recycling effort, and, you know, to give them to clean up the town. And he was harassing them for using Safeway shopping carts. You know, it was just it was pathetic, really pathetic. And to find ways to get the community to see what's going on in a colorful and humorous manner, I think, is really the key to some extent to future action in a period of time where you do not have masses of people on the streets. Now, much as we may want to believe we're in the middle of the 30s and the revolution is right around the corner, that I don't think is the truth. I think that we have a situation where you have a boom economy, and of course it's booming everybody out of their housing as well at the same time. It's a bust economy for a lot of us who, you know, are working two jobs to make ends meet. But it's not a situation where there's masses of people out on the streets. Now, this could change, I think, almost at any time, of course. I mean, we saw this in 1990 with the Iraq, Bush's Iraq genocidal war. And we saw this again in 1992 with the Rodney King verdict in Simi Valley, when hundreds, if not thousands, actually thousands, came out and blocked freeways here in Santa Cruz. But it really hasn't happened much since then in terms of those kinds of huge community mobilizing protests. And maybe, you know, some say, well, the community has gotten more conservative, or, you know, it's too busy, or, I don't know, they're all at home on the internet, whatever the story. But the fact is that we have to find ways of getting people interested in believing that they can make a change and learning new issues, getting out of their niches and their ruts. And I, above all, have to do this myself. So this duck pond thing at noon, I suggest you turn off your radio and flip on down to the duck pond, check out their workshop. And if I can't make it down there, because I may feel obliged to stay at the mic here and kind of keeping you advised of the latest civil rights abuses and goings-on in Santa Cruz, you perhaps can get back to this show later and give us an update. Somebody has a tape recorder and can record some of what this forum is about, some of what this workshop is about. That would be great. In case I didn't say so before, I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert, Robert Norris, and I do the show twice a week. It has to do with letting people talk about what's really going on in Santa Cruz on the streets, and hopefully finding some way to deter the kind of ongoing low-intensity warfare that's happening against poor and homeless people, whether it be from landlords, from the merchant community, from the police, from the city council and its anti-homeless sleeping ban and spare-changing ban and being in a park after dark ban and all the other bans they've set up to ensnare and drive off poor people, trying to find some way around that. The Homeless Issues Task Force, or Task Farce, as I've called it on occasion, had a meeting last Monday, last Tuesday, and I talked about it on Thursday. I do the show on Thursday from 6 to 8 in the evening. And I talked about the fact that they passed a resolution directing recommendation of the city council that the entire camping ban be eliminated. That's the entire, pretty much the entire section 6.36. What that would mean would be that they would have to, that the good parts of that ordinance, which provide for some kind of regulated camping for, right now there is no regulated camping for most people. There is a provision for two cars to be parked in a business parking lot with the permission of the business, one car to be parked in a residential neighborhood's driveway for only 3 days a month at maximum, with the permission, of course, of the resident, and three cars can be parked per night in a church parking lot with the written permission of the church. And this really accounts, I would say, for probably less than 50 vehicles a night being sheltered or given legal status. So that's the legal situation. Everybody else is illegal. So, and there are 500 to 1,500 homeless people in Santa Cruz. So, you know, you do the math. It's clear that things are illegal for 95% of the homeless population, of the shelterless population, the houseless population, folks outside. And what you got is $54 tickets that are actually $162 tickets. There has been a recent recommendation from the city attorney to the courts to start enforcing the law as the city wrote it back in March and passed it and went into effect in April. That law lowered the fines on sleeping and covering up with blankets. Actually, it lowered the fine even on encampment, I believe. But encampment is the word the police use when they want to say you've been there for a long time and you have a tent set up and you intend to remain overnight. And we're actually going to join the Homeless Issues Task Force debate on that camping ban repeal, which they voted. And that debate begins with Vice Chairman Ken Cole, who's also the Executive Director of the Homeless Services Center. That's the job that Karen Gillette did for so many years. He's the head of that whole program out there that involves emergency shelter for 30 people and lockers and phones and so forth that out at Coral Street or River and Highway 1. And he's on this Homeless Issues Task Force. And he's talking about this recent influx of tickets of people for sleeping when they're now using this section of the ordinance called the encampment section. Why are they using this strange section when most people don't have encampments? They just put their sleeping bags down. There's no evidence that they have. I talked about a ticket from Anthony Douglas, a homeless person who was sleeping behind an attorney's office, and he got an encampment ticket. Well, the reason that they give the encampment tickets is, one, you can give them 24 hours a day. You don't have to wait to catch someone between 11 in the evening and 8:30 in the morning when sleeping and covering up with blankets is illegal at night. And secondly, if you give two of these tickets within 24 hours, it will become a misdemeanor. So there's a sort of a threat to the person that if they don't move along, not only will they have to pay and get warrants out on them for these sleeping tickets or the bedding tickets, but they'll have to possibly face a six-month in jail charge. So it's an added sort of goad, an added bit of torture for the homeless person who has no place to sleep, and an added bit of power for the police officer who is giving out the ticket. And apparently, according to Ken Cole, and you're going to hear this in a moment, Ken Cole brings to the attention of the Homeless Issues Task Force the fact that he has eight tickets in his hand, and doesn't exhaust all the tickets that he thinks have been issued in the last month or two. But all of them, except for one, was for Section C, encampment. So it looks like the police department is using a new tack to get around the fact that way back in December, when the city council didn't have the guts to say, yeah, we have to make it legal to sleep somewhere, they gave this kind of weak directive to the city council that said, from the city council to the police department, that said, if you're going to ticket someone, try to give them a warning and try to do it only if there's a complaint. Though they didn't make that an ironclad requirement. So I think the police department is trying to get around this stuff by using the encampment tickets that don't really talk about sleeping, which Christopher Crone, a council member, passed a resolution which said sleeping is a basic human right. Of course, we didn't hear much from him for the next 3 months about how that human right could be squared with the fact that the current sleeping ordinance makes it a crime everywhere in Santa Cruz outside, inside the city limits, except for a fenced inside yard or backyard. But nonetheless, that was the situation. So the police department seems to be using this new strategy, and this discussion of the camping ordinance at the Homeless Issues Task Force begins with that presentation by Ken Cole, who later introduces the resolution to make the entire camping ordinance, to throw it out, to repeal it. And we'll hear that now.
And these are my only copies because I just didn't have a chance. I would like to have these back, but I'll pass them around. In just the last couple of days, I asked very informally to my staff to make photocopies of any camping tickets that their homeless folks were receiving. Mm-hmm. And what I have are 8 tickets ranging from the oldest, staleless ticket is late July, and the most recent ticket in this batch, it was September 5th. And one of the folks that I've been talking to went down. This was happened to have been written in the county, even though it's on on a citation that says City of Santa Cruz. I don't know quite how this works, but he went down to the Superior Court of California, County of Santa Cruz, was given an estimated $162 fine for the intent to camp. Which I didn't even know was problem here. Anyway, I'm going to pass these around. If you haven't seen them, I think it's good to see them.
Can somebody make a sort of a trial recommendation? I think it's important that we discuss this no matter where it's going, but it'd be good to have a recommendation. Now I make one.
Okay, well, I'm going to take a stab at it if anybody doesn't want to jump in. I would just say that this body recommends to the Santa Cruz City Council to immediately repeal the sleeping ban ordinance.
I'll second that.
Immediately.
Who is giggling down?
Once again, here we go. So, discussion? Amen, discussion. Community Action Board has taken this position for years. Primarily, it is if there's just not enough shelter in your community, how in God's name can you, in good conscience, make it illegal for people who have to sleep?
It's Paul Brindell, Community Action Board.
That it's just wrong. There's no complexity to it. It isn't a difficult issue. The difficulty always comes when we try and wiggle our way through what curb is going to be okay to put your head on. This curb or that curb or the one around the corner or grass or no grass. I mean, that's where it gets. And at that point, it just gets nauseating. And we've gone through that already. And my sense is that the motion as it was made to simply send a simple motion to the City Council, and I didn't hear you saying any particular, you weren't saying anything other than
repeal
the damn thing until we have enough shelter. You didn't even say that. So that's pretty much the reason that I support that motion, and I would suggest that for those of you who are sitting on the fence around it or actually opposed to it, that in reality the City Council will probably say thank you and not do it. That it is simply another way that we can generate discussion and possibly some good press as we're, remember, heading into the wintertime. And that it's going to get cold and wet before the ordinance that allows for the city manager to reduce the severity of sleeping outside in terms of dollars and...
Which you should have done already.
And which we're not operating under now.
Kate Roberts and Laura and Ken.
That was Paul Brindell speaking at the Homeless Issues Task Force. I'm interrupting this briefly to correct Paul. There is a provision of the changes in the camping ordinance made last spring, which include a provision that says if the winter armory shelter is full, then tickets against sleeping, and I think even against camping, although again I've got to check that out, camping having being distinguished from sleeping by the fact that it involves a tent or some other survival equipment, shall be dismissed. But of course, that doesn't mean they shan't be issued, and that doesn't mean people won't be woken up in the middle of the night. But the idea was that there would be a way to stop to deal with tickets after they were issued. Many of us who were in this process thought it was completely inadequate. We felt that they needed to have a process by which there would be, the police would find out at the beginning of the day whether any shelter spaces were available. If none were, and they wouldn't issue tickets. Simple as that. Why waste everybody's time? Why harass people at midnight? Why force people into unsafe sleeping zones? Why facilitate the noxious, bigoted work of troll busters if you don't have to? And that didn't fly past our fine mayor, sleeping ban buyers, who wouldn't go for that. And so instead we got this small section, which is what Paul Brindell is referring to. Again, to remind our listeners, this is the Homeless Issues Task Force. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. And this happened last Tuesday. This is a discussion as to whether the entire camping ban should be thrown out. That's the resolution on the floor. And now we're going to hear some more discussion of that.
And hopefully we'll get to you.
I think we should keep the solution. I think Paul made a good point that the cab has imposed the entire camping ordinance, which this, you're talking, I think, about the sleeping sections of the camping ordinance rather than the entire ordinance.
Yeah. Again, I kind of, out of ignorance, just said sleeping ban, but I mean the camping. I mean the whole camping.
Well, then it may be good to take a strong position on that, because I think the cab's position has always been the most realistic, which is if you don't have shelter and you don't arrest people for trying to defend themselves against the elements, there's just, it's a no-brainer. You could regulate it, and the council should go around and around looking for other than that. But you cannot ban it, simple as that. I want to point out also that I went to Catherine Byers recently after finding out, probably from the same people you did, Kim, and talking about the Anthony Douglas ticket, but that in spite of the supposed claim that the fines have been lowered to $54, bail of $162 is still being demanded by the courts because the city attorney negligently failed to inform the courts about that and confer with the judges. So, and I think I will propose to members of the next meeting we bring up a resolution on this issue very strongly. I can present the documentation on it for folks to look at. This is for another time, just kind of to inform people that is happening.
Just wasn't communicated.
Pass it and move on to the next order of business.
I'd like to interject before the next batch of speakers. Let's try to focus on what we need to say to the city and not the past history, so that we can get through the homeowner ordinance.
Yeah, well, I did want to say a little something personal just for
this is Laura Tucker, formerly homeless woman and
opposed or on
a kind of a paid staff person who gets paid much less than the
my
Don Lane,
has
who
been
actually
seriously threatened for the
work.
Last year and a half. I have a son that's going to turn 2 years old and a little Toyota minivan. So is my son going to break the law when he falls asleep at night? And if you don't have the answer to that, if you're going to let us break the law when we, you know, fall asleep, and if you oppose repealing the sleeping ban, the camping ban, or the sleeping section of the camping ban, if you oppose that, you need to have another solution. Otherwise, you're criminalizing a two-year-old boy, you know, really. And there's all kinds of problems that crop up when you don't have someone to sleep. And you get compromised, and you get exploited. And it's a very serious, very real situation. It's not, this is not fantasy, this is real. And this is what we have been asked to do something about as a task force. And this is our job, your job. And you've been asked to come up with a solution. If you don't support repealing the sleeping ban or the camping ban, then we need to find another solution. And I don't think there is one out there right now. It needs to be legal to sleep. And I realize that there's a lot of problems that may crop up, but we can deal with the problems as they... The solution is not to criminalize people. The solution is to find out what the problems are and to deal with them. And I think that there's ways to do that.
Very quickly, and it's been very well said already, but just to emphasize that we have people in an impossible catch-22 situation. And there is a school of thinking about ordinances like these.
This is Ken Cole again of the Homeless Services Center, who introduced the resolution.
That we need these strategically targeted behavioral laws to stop certain behaviors. But I just really make a plea that we are a society that has a tremendous amount of laws. I mean, even if we were to be able to take away all of the specifically targeted behavioral laws like panhandling and sleeping and all this nonsense, there's still a huge body of law that protects the public. In fact, you strike all those ordinances and basically camping is probably still illegal. Mm-hmm. I mean, because they're probably on private property and they're probably creating trash and they're probably doing this and they're probably doing that. There's no lack of laws. So if there's real criminal behavior going on, people tell me, no, we need these ordinances to get at the bad guys, and we're not going to hurt the good guys. And I just say, bump.
Thank you, Tim.
I'm up. Okay. I agree that with the goal of appealing within, that's one of the reasons I'm here. I'm not sure that we've presented any new arguments to the city council to want them to act, and I think that's something we can do, and that's going to take some planning to present a very cogent argument. Say, these are the reasons why you need to do this.
This is Tom Nadelsky, Homeless Issues Task Force member from the Quakers.
But I doubt we can do it right here at this meeting. And I would rather make one presentation rather than put a presentation now and have it shot down, and then a couple months later, when we really get our act together, make another presentation. So although I'm on board with your goals, I don't think this is the best way to accomplish the goal.
May I ask you, would you be willing to be an individual that would help organize
the master chair of the Homeless Issues Task Force?
Sure.
Asks if Tom Nadelsky will be on a committee to form proper arguments for the city council.
I think it's important that we just...
Audience member David Silva, who actually brought this proposal forward.
I do believe the camping ban is not a camping ordinance, it's a camping ban. We need to say that the sleeping sections of the camping ordinance are a human rights violation. They need to be taken out of that law. When it comes to the rest of the camping ban, the problem with it is that there is no place to camp, so therefore there is nowhere. So therefore it's a prohibition instead of a regulation. So it's not an ordinance that regulates camping, it's an ordinance that prohibits camping, especially for those doing overnight survival sleeping. I think you could actually accomplish what Tom was talking about in a 1-2 punch. Go to the human rights problem immediately, drag out sections 6.3, 6.0, 1.0, A and B. Strike out A and B. You still have section C, which is camping. And then come back with the car parks, the campground, various other solutions, the need for more shelters and so forth. But even with the human rights violation of the sleeping section, the city council is going to want to hear safe sleeping zones. So I think you need to recommend the repeal, and then you need to recommend the manner of regulation. But I think you can do it in a 1-2 punch, and the human rights section is, the violation is the sleeping section. Overnight survival sleeping, just cannot be denied. So I think you can act on that immediately, and let them know that you're coming also with modifications to make this camping ordinance a regulation of camping, not just a prohibition. Let them know that you can also be doing that. There's sections here. Unfortunately, the maps that you received from staff are inaccurate. They're not the map that is currently. Okay, they're not the map that's currently. So there's a little confusion. If anybody has any confusion about the community commercial, I can explain to you that these are old maps and the new map is a little different.
If the motion passes, we'll need, of course, to know more about what's on those maps.
Sure.
I assume you're not asking the motion to be amended. You're just arguing for other possible
I was just elucidating and trying to just distinguish so people won't confuse camping ban and sleeping ban anymore.
I want to call a question.
Is there someone else?
I have a question.
Can you be brief?
Speak.
I would like to get to the vote on this particular motion before Ken has to leave.
Okay. And to vote specifically is what I'd like to do, and I want to make sure. It's sleeping slash camping ordinance.
Mel Noonan is another member of the Homeless Issues Task Force.
So it phrased clearly what I wrote down in the book.
Okay, Ken's motion said the camping ban, which is the language the city uses, and that includes sleeping ban as well as vehicle sleeping ban. I think this language is what we should stick to because that's how the ordinance is written, if that's our intent.
Well,
could you read it? Read the motion.
I have it.
Do you want to say it again? And maybe that's the best.
Well, again, I was looking for more knowledgeable people, so I defer to the exact wording of the. What I'm seeking is the correct title of the ordinance which prohibits camping or sleeping. And I don't know, maybe it's more than one ordinance.
Well, there's the sleeping section of the camping ban.
Okay, then I just
need to get to a vote.
Yeah, my motion was.
You guys are going to be stuck with my.
Was the camping ban, the whole package.
And that's what's
and
in your motion.
And then let others do.
The board recommends to the Santa Cruz City Council that the city immediately repeal the camping ban. Those were your words.
Yeah.
And it's a clean motion, and that's what's on the floor, and I know you have to leave soon.
Actually, no, it isn't.
Oh,
I think this is too much of a topic.
This is Peter Eberle, also a member of the Homeless Issues Task Force, and the head of the Downtown Business Association.
I may not be in favor of any type of changes.
There's a slight gap in the tape, which was transcribed from. Sorry about that, folks. We're working on this, a little technical problem. We've been listening to the Homeless Issues Task Force, which is discussing the camping ordinance and repealing it, and indeed devoted to repeal it, and now we're going to hear the continuation of that debate.
And then sent back to us so they give credibility to the task force. If we looked at something, we looked at a plan or a strategy in which to bring that up to the council.
This is Peter Eberle, who actually opposes any changes in the ordinance, or did in the last round of discussions.
That's all here from SCAN, right here, their support the request of the task force to place the sleeping ban repeal initiative on the March 2000 election ballot. Now, I don't think we've made any official recommendations for that just yet.
And what Peter Eberle just brought up, kind of as a diversory measure, because I think he's probably dismayed to see this a strong resolution coming up and indeed passing in spite of his objections. He can't actually vote yet because, like so many others, he has not officially been confirmed by the City Council. The City Council, which zipped forward to approve Cynthia Matthews' unknown stealth nomination for the Citizens Police Review Board, still has declined. There are four, five, possibly even six spaces open on the Homeless Issues Task Force, five or six out of 12 that they've failed to fill. Now, they said they're going to fill these spaces at the next city council meeting, and that city council meeting is coming up on Tuesday at 3 o'clock. For those of you who are interested at City Hall, that'll be in 2 days. That'll be on the 13th. We're again going to continue to listen to this. Peter Eberle brings up the fact that SCAN, the Santa Cruz Action Network, an organization that actually is sort of the beef behind the current city council, one of the main organizations that supported them and elected them, the new majority, they actually endorsed almost every single sitting city council member. They're the monopoly, they're the sort of the establishment political organization in town. They have supported ending the sleeping ban for several years, nominally, though of course they haven't done much about it. They sent a letter suggesting that they supported the idea of putting the sleeping ban on the ballot in March, which is what David Silva's initiative would try to do. It provided that he can get 3,900 signatures and enough money to get the initiative published and start circulating it. This would get get the issue to the voters. Of course, what we really want to do is get the city council now, before the winter, to actually rationalize and humanize and restore the rights of homeless people without having to wait till next March to do it, to take it to the voters. And SCAN, in typical weaselly fashion, has not stood up for its previous position, which was stronger, saying end the sleeping ban, which are the sleeping sections of the camping ban now. And Peter Eberle is bringing this issue up in the middle of a resolution at the Homeless Issues Task Force, which talks about ending the camping ordinance, the camping ban, an even broader and perhaps more necessary action. Because while we all believe in the right to sleep, we also all should believe in the right to protect yourself from the elements if there's no shelter. And to do that, you have to be able to camp, not just to sleep. Peter Eberle sort of says, well, wait a minute, here's this letter from SCAN about claiming that the Homeless Issues Task Force has already passed something. The letter from SCAN was a little wrong. They said, we support the Homeless Issues Task Force's action calling for a vote on the sleeping ban sections in March. The Homeless Issues Task Force hadn't done any such thing, so SCAN was mistaken. But the main point of what Eberle is doing here is he doesn't want to be seen as an ogre who supports arresting people for sleeping, which he does, unfortunately, because that's his position at the moment. I haven't heard him say anything different, and he certainly was making some pretty nasty comments last spring when he talked about not favoring the right to sleep because people might sleep in vehicles and be child molesters or kidnappers and kind of park there so kids would have to pass them on the way to school. Pretty nasty comments by an individual who should know better. Anyway, let's hear more of this debate on the camping ordinance.
This letter here obviously looks premature, but at the same time, let's look, I mean, if this is something that everybody here wants to change, let's think about the strategy in which it can possibly be changed instead of just rushing into an action.
Sherry also wanted to speak. I agree with your initial point, Stephen. I'm sorry about the time crunch.
Sherry Connerly speaks, member of the Homeless Issues Task Force.
Could I ask the indulgence of the chair, if it would be possible for me to vote and then leave? Yeah. And then people can continue with this. I don't want to be the pressure behind that.
I'm going to call
for
the vote. The only discussion against this motion that I've heard is that people want more detail or a different tackle. So maybe they won't vote for this. But I'm going to repeat it one more time.
Can I clarify my first explanation of the motion?
Oh, for the motion? Do you need one of those?
Pardon me?
I was going to just read his motion.
Okay.
One more than that. So this board, well, the staff board, recommends to the Santa Cruz City Council that the city immediately repeal the camping ban.
Linda, I don't want to hear what you have a motion and a second on the floor. You have to honor that. You can't call the question right now. I need a motion that was a second.
Various technical maneuvers are going on. Sherry Connerly says you can't
call
the
motion.
That's
the being a discussion about the...
Well, you should take up with Sherry. Motion before you do anything else.
Right. Well, nobody seconded it.
Oh, no one did second.
So call the question.
I was just going to, just because they're trying to deal with the crunch, I don't know if this may be too dividing the point too much. I think the motion could be adopted or voted on quickly, and then as a separate matter, decide how you want to convey this to the city council. And maybe that way, the substance can vote, the substance has been stated. And yet, if there's some more concern about how and when to send this letter or motion to the council, if that wants to wait, that could be a separate motion. I just wanted to give that possibility.
Maybe that's what we should do, but I disagree. I don't think that it's clear to me that that our best chance of success is going to be to repeal the entire camping ordinance. There are some aspects of the camping ordinance that if you throw that at them, they'll just out of hand say, we can't accept that recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much here that that I believe the city council is going to value. There are pieces of this that I think have to go. And I think there's a little bit of work that we need to do. We need to say, okay, here's what in this ordinance has to go. This is what can stay. And so I don't think it's simply a matter of, from my perspective, saying, let's do it and figure out the details later.
Again, I'm going to try to call the question. I don't disagree with you, and I think whether this motion passes or fails, the kind of work you're talking about will be back on our table no matter what. That's my only stuff that I want to add to the discussion. All those in favor of Tim's motion, do you need to hear it again? Anybody? Okay, all those in favor of Tim's motion, no task force, can you raise your hand for me, please?
Just keep your hands up just for a second, because Laura's trying to get.
Got it.
Okay. All those task force members not in favor of Tim's motion, raise your hands, please. Two and five.
Well, okay. Abstention.
And are there abstentions? Okay.
And the vote was 5 in favor, 2 opposed, and 1 abstaining. The 5 in favor were Chairwoman Linda LeMaster, Vice Chair Ken Cole, who made the motion, Mel Nunez, and Laura Tucker didn't vote. Paul Brindell was in favor, and I believe that was it for those in favor. Those who are opposed were Christine Supple and Tom Nedelsky. Christine didn't speak. She's from the county. And Peter Eberle, who is a downtown association person who would surely have voted against it, couldn't vote yet because he hadn't been sworn in. And Sherry Connable abstained. And there was some concern about why Sherry abstained. You can't hear her voice much on the tape. What she really is saying is it makes no sense to pass an ordinance unless you're going to present it to the council in a way that puts pressure on them to pass it. Otherwise, it's simply sort of a meaningless gesture. Other people voted against it because, as Tom Nedelsky said, he felt that the council had to be approached in a way that would change its mind or not present so extreme a position or give them a lot of specific reasons and a proposal that would enable them to proceed forward. But the general sentiment was that the reality, the human reality of the needs of the community, given the shelter crisis — there have been 3 shelter crises declared, and none of them has lapsed since 1990, declaring that the city just does not have shelter for the people there, and yet at the same time for it to run around arresting people for sleeping or sheltering themselves is truly a kind of contradiction and is a sort of a vicious practice. It's a violation of human rights and a violation of human decency. And that's been clear to, I think, a majority of the community for a long, long time. But we've been pandering to existing political processes, existing police policies, the way the merchants run the town, and that's just, you know, those in power keep their medieval laws, and everybody else just sort of goes about their business, because how do you deal with it? Anyway, they voted to end the camping ordinance. There was a long discussion after this concerning how to present the matter to the city council in the best light. And my general reaction to that was, I had a number of thoughts. First, I thought, well, what you really need to do is turn out a series of meaningful, strong recommendations from this body that puts the city council under increasing pressure. To spend a lot of time arguing with them about the camping ordinance is not going to necessarily do much, but to continue to bring to them a series of concerns about violations of civil rights of homeless people and gaps in the social service system for people who are poor, one after another, and kind of where that we have a series of these things backing up in the city council in desk, which of course they will immediately transfer to their out desk, which is the wastebasket, but nonetheless is, I think, a good strategy for educating the community and putting pressure on the so-called swing votes, Catherine Byers and Tim Fitzmaurice, who were so disappointing last spring when they voted in favor of reaffirming the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz and have done nothing to expand any shelter either. So that was my thought. And there's going to be a meeting, for those of you who are interested in this subject, on how to present the issue to the city council.
Really, I think the issue is how to present it to the community, you know, because the community is the one that has to get on the city council's ass to get this thing done. The community has to start kicking ass around this, or the city council will just do its usual, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, sort of monkey doo-doo stuff. But this meeting for the presentation question will be happening tomorrow, Monday, the 12th, at Community House. Community House is the trailer project at Coral Street and Highway 1, or River Street and Highway 1. That's that corner in the area near the homeless services area. And you can go. It's at 4 o'clock. It's at 4:30. And it's open to the public. You can come and give your thoughts. And I encourage you to go if you're interested in this issue, because two of the people who jumped on this committee... Actually, there's another woman I didn't mention named Nancy, who's from the downtown, or from the Harvey West Association. Nancy Ancido, is that her name? I don't want to mispronounce her name, but she was definitely opposed to any changes in the sleeping ban or the broader camping ordinance. And she's going to be on the subcommittee that works on presenting it, as is, I believe, either Christine or Tom Nedelsky. And actually, I think it was Christine voted in favor of the ordinance. It was in favor of the changes, repealing the ordinance. It was the two who voted against it were Nancy of the downtown, of the Harvey West Association, Neighborhood Association, and Tom Nedelsky of the Quakers. And I think Nancy will oppose it under any circumstances. That's my fear. But I think Tom might come around later. But really, it's not important. Again, the idea of presenting a pretty package for city council. All the arguments have been made so many times that it's hard to imagine wanting to wait around on this one. I mean, we're kind of clear that they're not going to do much about it until the community rises up and demands it, or until some homeless people get stabbed and die, or some significant thing happens that puts them on the spot. Maybe a massive hunger strikes by numbers of people might be good. I've suggested downtown